So we are talking about the Trinity today. This is our goal, although it's hard. The scripture that you heard is one of the few places in which the Trinity is directly referenced, okay? Because, you know, God is showing up all throughout the Bible, but there are these certain moments where, you know, all of that is kind of drawn together. And you know, from the mouth of Jesus came that idea that we're supposed to go into the world and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is actually not one that you see in the Bible. It is something that has come from the church to describe that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dynamic. We say as Christians, as people of the book, that we are monotheistic, that we are the followers of one God, that there are not multiple gods. It's not the pantheon. There's not, you know, Zeus and Athena and all the Greek or other, you know, Norse mythology has all kinds of gods. We have one God. And there's lots of work that is done to say, one God, one God, one God, don't get this wrong. But then we show up with the Trinity, right? Wait, what? You said one, but there's three. And then how does that work? So part of what I want to talk to you about a little bit is the weirdness of this all. Not to say that God is weird, but we are kind of like into an area that is hard to sometimes wrap our minds around. For some people, it's a stumbling block. For some people, it's like, what? How do you know? That won't work. For others, we have to try to, for all of us really, we have to try to make sense of it. So we're talking about the Trinity today, but I want to start by, instead of like trying to academically describe the Trinity to you, to ask you, for a moment at least, how would you describe yourself? I mean, one of the most awkward moments comes when you're joining a group, right? You have like new singers together, right? Or you are at a work function or a school function, and they say, well, tell us a little more about yourself, right? And that's always like, okay, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to say the stupid thing? Me, I kind of go in the stupid direction, or at least I feel like I am, right? But there's all kinds of different ways in which we can articulate things about us. Like I would say that I am a father, right? And I certainly could say that I'm a husband and a son and a brother. I'm a follower of Jesus, of course, and I am, working through lots of different aspects about myself. I'm a little bit of an anxious person. I'm a person who likes humor. You may not have discovered that yet. That may be something that's new to you. I like the color blue. I drive Subarus, you know. These are aspects of my person. There's more complicated ones as well. I struggle with this. I hope for that. I vote this particular way. I love this kind of music. All these are different ways in which my person is expressed in the different parts of life. Sociologists would call that role stratification, right? Any sociologists in the room? Did I get that right? Good. I got that right. I know I did. So here we are, each one of us, in our complexity, right? You and I are made up of lots of different things. Our physical body determines some things about us. Genetics determine, you know, our life experiences, our mental health. All those different parts of us, our soul and our body and our social status and all those things are really complicated, and they're all mixed up together. You get this? You with me? So why is it that we try to reduce God into a box? If we are made actually in the image of God, which scriptures say very clearly, you are made in the image of God, be happy with that. But that also includes the capacity to be very complex. And God truly is that too. We have this notion of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God the Creator, the Father, right? The Redeemer, the Son. God the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. These are you know, helpful. But when you sit down with a young person and you start talking about what that is and who they want to, you know, how does that work? A new person in the faith. Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm all good with that. And Father, I don't know about that because my father was horrible. Not mine, but I've sat with enough people to say that idea of Father is aberrant and hard. And then some people will say, Father, Son, I'm good with that. Not so sure about the Holy Spirit. I mean, what are we really talking about here? So I can buy one. Maybe I can buy two, three of them, or that particular one that I'm not certain about. Or maybe there's something, maybe one of those that you're angry with, or you feel hurt by. Okay? That's the real complex power of all of this. Of course, there's allegories. There's ways for us to try to make sense of this. For example, if you saw my Facebook feed this week, and I won't ask for hands because I know who you are. No. But if you saw my Facebook feed, there was a video there where the patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, was supposed to have been, you know, working to help people understand God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in Ireland. And he runs into some people and they're like, help us understand what we're talking about with the Trinity. And so he starts some famous lines about, well, look at the clover, right? So if you pick up a clover, it's got three leaves, but it's one, right? Now that's good until it falls apart. All metaphors, okay, have limits. So a very hard part of our early church history includes times that we would gather together and fight with each other about what the Trinity was, who Jesus was, and what was going on. So much and so bad were those fights, they wound up having a few murders go down in the midst of those arguments. So perhaps it's like water. Water can exist in three states, like all matter, right? So there's gas, and there's liquid, and there's solid, right? Now, they're all water. It's called partialism, by the way. It's not really fully able to kind of explain how God works. But it's a way to kind of help us sort of make our way forward with that. I'm not trying to take away the Trinity, but what I want you to understand is there's a complexity to this that helps us, but also the complexity reveals something in and of itself, which is ultimately, this is a mystery. This whole business of how the Father and the Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, how all those are working together in their own particular way, in ways sometimes exactly the way that we need. Sometimes I need a father. When I'm at my worst, I need someone that stands in solidarity with me like Jesus does. And when tears are flowing, you know, there's this notion of the Holy Spirit collecting tears in a way that a father might not. One of the nice versions of Trinity was depicted a few years ago. We have lots of art, by the way. There's amazing art that depicts that. You can see some of that on the screen there. One of the nice pieces of art, flawed, of course, all of it's flawed, but one of the nice pieces was a movie a few years ago and a book called The Shack. Yeah, I'm seeing some joy. I'm seeing some happiness in here. Now, The Shack has problems. I hate to kind of like dampen the joy. The Shack has problems, but it also has this amazing portrayal of God as this beautiful African-American woman. And the Holy Spirit as this winnowy, wonderful Asian woman. Some of you have seen this movie. Jesus is from California in that. I like a California Jesus, I'm okay with that. But they're depictions. They're depictions. There is this understanding, one of the most helpful understandings for me personally came from a Catholic theologian who is a feminist, who said that God is community, that the Trinity works by those parts being in relationship with each other, right? Just as we have some folks that occupy particular roles within our community, we have other folks that occupy very different roles, but if part of them, if one of those was gone, we would miss them. This is hard, isn't it? But it is gift to be able to have this mystery in front of us and not have to have it resolve. We like to have it when things are nice and resolved, right? When the movie comes to the end, you want all the pieces to be in place. When the story reaches its finish, you want everything kind of like resolved and you know who killed who, or, you know, so-and-so fell in love, or all those kinds of things. But in our life, however, how often do we see that resolution? It's all messy and process. And it's all mystery, ultimately. And because of that, it is a matter of faith. Not something that we can point to, not something that we can say, you know, I'm from Missouri, show me. But something that we can live into in relationship with something that is much bigger than us. Something that we can live into as we are much bigger than what we might reduce ourselves to be. So as you enter into this week, the invitation for you is to consider all those different parts that are mystery and how that has been showing up in your own life. How that right person is right there. And even when the wrong person shows up, I don't want the Father right now. You know, don't give me that Holy Spirit. Let me have the other two. Sorry, wrong number, you know. Even if the others show up, why are they there? Maybe that's the question to answer this week. So I offer all this to you in an unresolved, kind of mysterious way, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.